There's nothing like a personal note. They're rare in our day of digital communication, aren't they? But, you know, if you're like me, when you get a handwritten letter, especially one that communicates a heartfelt message, you save it and you reread it. Today on Through the Bible, we'll hear Dr. J. Vernon McGee share some personal thoughts from the Apostle Paul's handwritten letter to the Romans. You can turn in your copy of the Bible to Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 15. Before we get to our study, though, let's take a moment and hear from some fellow passengers on the Bible bus. Some beautiful letters written from the heart about what God is doing in their lives. Marcia from Lansdale, Pennsylvania, wrote recently, "My sister first introduced me to Dr. J. Vernon McGee last year. At first, I didn't like him. His voice put me off a bit, but as my sister discussed what she learned from him and as my thirst for understanding the Word of God grew, I listened in again. This time, he sounded like someone who walked with God. I have laughed and learned with Dr. McGee and am amazed how timeless his teaching is. I jumped off the Bible bus for a little bit, but I'm back now, listening every day as we finish the Gospels. I'm learning God's Word is as bottomless as the ocean, so deep, so profound, so much to learn." Wow. You know, I really love that. God's Word is as bottomless as the ocean. And you know that's true. The more you study, the more you see just how much more there is. And then here's another letter. This is from a very eager Bible student. "I was saved on February 14th, 2010, this listener writes, "From the start, I've had a great thirst for the Word. My pastor's wife told me right away about Through the Bible and gave me Dr. McGee's commentary set. This was the best gift ever. From reading the commentary along with the Bible, my spiritual growth increased rapidly. Since that day, I have been listening to it on my iPod and now on my phone. I even have built my own playlist from the free downloads of each book so that I can listen and re-listen to the books I've enjoyed most. May God bless this ministry and may you continue to bless people around the world with the Word of God." Now that's a great word from a wonderful student of God's Word. Thanks for sharing your story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, your word is a powerful two-edged sword. May it go deep into our hearts as we hear from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now I read today at verse 17 of the 15th chapter of Romans. It says, "I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." Now, this verse actually is dependent on the two verses that immediately precede this that we closed with last time. Let me move back and pick them up again, and I'll give you my translation of them. He says, "Nevertheless, all the more boldly, I am writing unto you in some measure as recalling to your memory through the grace which was given to me from God, that I should be a servant or a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, officially ministering the gospel of God, in order that the offering up of the Gentiles might be well-pleasing or be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit." And as we said last time, Paul here adopts the language of the Levitical priesthood and the temple worship in describing himself as a minister preaching the gospel, and that he offers up the Gentiles as an offering unto God. And he does this in a very humble way, you know. Paul was a very humble man, and it's not with any officious manner whatsoever. Therefore, he then adds this verse where we begin today. He says, "I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ and those things which pertain to God." Now, in view of the fact that he'd been rather apologetic before. He had written boldly and all that. And he recognized that these saints in Rome, that they probably didn't need his instruction, but that he wanted to come and bring it to them. But in spite of that, he's with confidence in writing to the Romans. There is no personal assumption in this, but he's only in Christ Jesus, and he is a servant of Christ Jesus, and he's doing his will. Friends, that's very important to see. There's one thing that should never characterize a servant of God, and that's pride, or to become officious. We ought to take the position always that we are merely serving him, the Lord Jesus, and he's really the one in charge. Now, verses 18 and 19, he says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Now, Paul is saying here something that's very important, friends, and if we're to understand Paul, and especially whether he founded the church in Rome or whether Peter founded the church in Rome, you'll need to follow it very carefully now. And if this is followed carefully, you'll not come up with any false assumptions, I can assure you. Now, Paul is saying, "I will not take credit for the work of God that is being done by others, and especially among the Gentiles." Now, he couldn't take credit for the day of Pentecost, and that, of course, was the beginning that finally resulted in the gospel going to the Gentiles. Paul says that he couldn't take credit for that. He says, "Only those things which God has done through me, that's the only thing I'm going to speak of." And therefore, he couldn't speak of the fact that the gospel went through Simon Peter first to the Gentiles in the home of Cornelius. Paul says, "I couldn't take credit for that at all." And he'll not take credit for that which God did through him, actually by word and deed. Paul is going to say that he never built on another's foundation. He had a peculiar ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles, and that it was through mighty signs and wonders. Now, friends, I want to be very careful here, and I hope you'll hear me. The mighty signs and wonders were the credentials of the apostles and the ministers in the early church. These were given to establish the church on the right foundation. Before there had ever been written a word of the New Testament. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 2:20. He's speaking now of the church and believers, and they're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, he's not saying that the apostles are the foundation. There's no other foundation that any man can lay that which is Jesus Christ. But the apostles are the ones who put down the foundation of Jesus Christ, my beloved. And that's what Paul is saying here. Now, Paul says, since the apostles did that, you have to be very careful who the apostles are and who you're listening to. Now, Paul had the credentials that God had given to the apostles. Now, listen to Acts 14:3. "Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." You see that these were the marks of the apostles and the early preachers of the gospel. They didn't come with a New Testament in their hand. They came with these credentials, mighty signs and wonders. Now there came a day when the mighty signs and wonders were not the mark. John, in 2 John, verse 10 says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's very important. May I say today, the question is the doctrine and not these signs. The tragic thing of the moment, and I have, they're coming to my desk now, literally a flood of letters from people that are being carried away by fanaticism, by wrong teaching, by false doctrine, because there is a movement of the Spirit of God, but there's also a movement of the devil today. Satan is busy also. And a great many people are being carried away and trapped by that. And Paul has been so careful to emphasize the fact that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not, friends, these signs. It's not these outward physical things, but it just happens to be righteousness. And when I hear today of these groups meeting and they indulge in all kinds of sexual rites, and that today they are not living for God at all. And then they talk about the fact that they have certain signs that they demonstrate the tongues movement. My friend, may I say to you that it better be a clean tongue. If the Lord has come into your life, he'll clean you up. And that's the important thing. A clean tongue is what a great many folk need today. They need a loving tongue. These are the things that are needed, my friends, and these are the marks. And the mark, therefore, is the doctrine, not these outward signs. Now he says that the Word of God had gone through him to Illyricum. Now that was a province of the Roman Empire next to Italy. You'll notice it comes down to the Adriatic Sea and goes up to the Danube River. Paul, at this time, had preached this far, the province that was right next to Italy, right next to Rome. But he hadn't quite reached Rome yet. And no record occurs in Acts of this visit of Paul at all. Paul went many places, friends, we do not have any record of. Now, there are those that believe he went even to Spain. I think this epistle will reveal he went to Spain. But I also believe that Paul probably went to Great Britain. Paul covered the Roman Empire, and we'll see that as we move along. Now listen to him, because in verses 20 and 21, he's going to make another tremendous statement. He says, "Yet, so if I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." I wonder if I may give you my translation of this. I think it'll be a little clearer. He says, "Indeed, in this way, having made it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, in order that I might not be building upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, they shall see those to whom there came no tidings of him, and those who have not heard shall understand." Now, it was a point of honor with Paul, and not a matter of competition, but of honor, which caused him to go as a pioneer where the gospel had not been preached. In other words, Paul had a peculiar ministry. He was a true missionary. Paul did not minister where others had gone. His was a true ministry. And by the way, that is what is called an evangelist in the New Testament. Evangelist is not one who comes to a town or a city where committees have been working and churches have been cooperating and everything is set up and all he does is just walk in and begin. Paul never had a committee to work ahead of him. He never had a welcome. He never had the mayor around. The only one that ever came around was the chief of police, and that generally was to arrest him and put him in jail. Paul always ministered, friends, where the gospel had not gone, and there was no one there to welcome him. That is a true evangelist. That is a true missionary, by the way. And Paul says that he never went where the gospel is preached before. So who is the founder of the church in Rome? Paul went to Rome. And he makes it, I think, very clear in his introduction and here that he's the founder of the church in Rome. Now, we're going to see when we get to the last chapter in the next time or two that there were a group of people in Rome he knew. Some of them we know he led to the Lord. We're confident of that because the record says that he led them to the Lord. Now, he's the one that founded the church not by going there, but by remote control, by radar, by spiritual radar. He would reach these people out in the Roman Empire, and many of them would gravitate to Rome. And when they got there, they all came together. And I think that they met together around the person of the Lord Jesus. And I think many times they talked about their beloved pastor, Paul. And he was the founder of the church there. And Paul, therefore, is it. And he quotes here, by the way, from Isaiah 52:15. And it would seem that this was Paul's life verse as a missionary. It is from Isaiah 52:15. He says here, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." And Paul was thrilled to go and preach the gospel to those that were spiritually blind. And Paul would preach and they'd turn to Christ. And then he gave out the word. And some brothers say, as many of them did, "I see, Brother Paul, I will accept Christ as my Savior." And friends, there's no thrill quite like the thrill of preaching Christ and have people turn to him. What a wonderful thrill that is, and that was the experience of the Apostle Paul. Now will you listen here to verse 22, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." And when he says he's been much hindered, you can be sure of one thing, it was much hindered. He had many roadblocks put up. You know, the very interesting thing today is that a great many Christians get enamored of a faraway place with strange customs, and they neglect the home church. A great many want to go way out yonder to do mission work, and some are called. Paul was called. And the very interesting thing is there are too many Christians today, though, that they like to be told about the strange customs of unusual people way out yonder. And I have a letter from a missionary. I wish I had it before me. It's quite interesting. He's one of the most dedicated missionaries I've ever met. He works down in South America among a tribe that has never had the Word of God. He's translating it into the tribe. Went out there and began to live among them. And he said to me, he says, "You know, I want to come back and tell the people, get them interested in this work." Because he said, "I know that they like to hear about these strange people down here and their strange customs. But," he says, "maybe the Lord will speak to somebody who won't do something about it." You know, it's quite interesting. I can give you something quite personal in that connection. Right here in Los Angeles, we have in South Los Angeles Bible Training School. Wonderful school. We have difficulty getting support for it. But when we have a missionary that comes from Africa and he tells about his work way out yonder, why, he gets good support. And he ought to, by the way. I'm for him getting good support. But I don't quite understand the viewpoint of a great many people who neglect home base. Now, Paul here is making it clear he had a peculiar ministry. And he wants to take the gospel way out yonder, and he's coming to Rome. He'd never been there. But now he's going to say something unusually strange. Listen to him, verse 23 and 24. "But now, having no more place in these parts." Now, there's been a question about what Paul meant. Did Paul mean here that there was no longer an opportunity to preach the gospel in the section of the Roman Empire where he was? Had the doors completely closed to him? Had everyone been saved? Had every nook and cranny been evangelized? Well, in my book, I take the position that the answer is no. I'm not sure that I'm right on all of those questions. I'm of the opinion, since I've been to Turkey and I've seen these seven churches of Asia Minor, Did you know that the gospel had sounded out through that entire area? Why? Because Paul and the other apostles and the other witnesses had been faithful. And it had gone out so that everyone, both Jew and Gentile, Dr. Luke says, had heard the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean it all turned to Christ, but they'd all heard. Now, Paul's looking for new territory. And he says that he's looking out yonder to the frontier. He says, whensoever I take my journey unto Spain, I'll come to you. Now, what Paul is saying, honestly, Rome is not my destination. I want to go to Spain. He'd come from one end of the Roman Empire, and he wanted now to go to the other end of the Roman Empire. He says, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now, what does Paul mean here? Well, Paul means that he was going to come to Rome, but that was not the terminal. He wanted to go farther than Rome. He wanted to pursue this and go all the way to the end of the Roman Empire. Now, the question that I'd like to ask is, did Paul ever go to Spain? We have no record of it, but we had no record of that he'd gone to Illyricum, and if he hadn't told us that here, we'd never have known it. But did Paul go to Spain? Did he get up in the rest of the Roman Empire? I think so. And you say, on what basis do you make that statement? Do you have any scripture? Oh, yes, I have scripture. When Paul came to the end of his life, Paul said, I finished my course. He says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, Paul finished his course. I don't think he could have said that at the end of his life if he hadn't been to Spain, because it was on his itinerary. And when he gets to the end of his life, he says, I finished my course. I touched all the bases. I've been everywhere God intended me to go. And not many of us, I guess, will be able to say, I finished my course. But Paul was able to make that bold statement that he had finished his course. And then there's something else that's here. He says in verse 25 and 26, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now, two things that Paul wanted to do. He wanted to go to Spain, and that's to the west. Now, he also wants to go to Jerusalem, and that's to the east. These were the two things. And he wanted to take a gift to the poor saints in Jerusalem, and he wanted to take them by his own hands. You know why? Because he said with his own hands, he'd wasted the church in Jerusalem. He persecuted it. And now he wanted to make up for that, take a gift to them. This is the heart of the great apostle Paul. This is very personal that he's talking to us about now. But we're going to have to leave off right there, and we're going to pick up our next time. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a great testimony from the life of the apostle Paul. I pray, like many of you, I'm sure, that when I come to the end of my life, I can say like Paul that I fought a good fight and then I finished my course and that I've kept my faith. You know, one way to be assured that we'll be able to make such a statement is to stay faithful to the study of God's Word. And to help you do that, we offer Dr. McGee's complete 5-year audio series in a bunch of different formats. Everything from an MP3 disc album to our Solar Bible Bus, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a portable listening device that requires absolutely nothing other than sunlight to stay charged up. You can check out your options and choose the format that works best for you in our online store at ttb.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call and we'll be happy to help you. Our number is 1-800-652-4253. That's 1-800-65-BIBLE. And then another way that you can enhance your study of God's Word is to request your free copy of our newest resource called Briefing the Bible. If you've been on the Bible bus for long, then you've heard us talk about Dr. McGee's notes and outlines, right? Well, now, in addition to downloading any set of notes and outlines for free from ttb.org, you can request a copy of the entire collection of Dr. McGee's outlines compiled in a printed paperback called Briefing the Bible. Just go online to request your copy or give us a call at 1-800-652-4253. Now, next week, we'll be wrapping up our study in Romans and returning to the Old Testament, to the historical books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You can download your copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines online at ttb.org/chronicles. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us here at Through the Bible, we're praying that you would grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great weekend.
Unto him I owe.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.